Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico, and this week we are going to talk about the election one more time. Actually, today I'm interviewing Lloyd Longfield, the Member of Parliament-elect for the riding of Guelph. Longfield was one of 184 Liberal MPs elected on November 19th, and they together make up the new government under Prime Minister-designate Justin Trudeau. And of course, the big story of the night was the 73% voter turnout, of which Lloyd Longfield won nearly half of those ballots cast on October 19th. Longfield is, of course, the former president of the Chamber of Commerce here in Guelph and has been involved in numerous Guelph groups and organizations. Now he will take on a whole series of unique challenges, not the least of which is finding out when he will officially be sworn in as Guelph's MP, because he's already getting requests through email by people looking for ministerial services, help with passports, that sort of thing. Trudeau and his cabinet, meanwhile, will be sworn in on Wednesday, so presumably the rest of the new government will follow shortly thereafter, but I guess we will stay tuned for that. As for our interview, Lloyd Longfield touched on the takeaways from the campaign and lessons he learned, and then we look forward ahead to the challenges coming up, the issues he promised action on during the election, such as electoral reform predominantly, and then his message to all Guelphites, both the ones that voted for him and the ones that did not, and as we look ahead to those next 4 years. So let's go to the interview right now. I caught up with Lloyd Longfield earlier this week in downtown Guelph. Lloyd Longfield, thank you for joining me.
It's great to have a coffee with you, Adam.
And our first time talking since you have been elected as is it the official title? Are you Member of Parliament Designate?
Or? Member of Parliament Elect.
Elect,
yes. Okay. Prime Minister Designate and Member of Parliament Elect.
We're learning all sorts of new nomenclature.
Exactly.
Let's look back at election night. Was there a moment you knew you had it sewn up? Because it seemed to come pretty early that Guelph was decided.
Well, I think when we saw the results coming in from the East Coast, it was surprising to see the sweep starting. I would say the first poll came in at 378 to 150, and so you'd like to go with that, but it was probably another half an hour or so before we started feeling like we had a good lead and it was continuing to increase. So let's say it was about 10:30 by the time we were ready to get together and head downtown.
In terms of first things, you mentioned, we were talking before we started recording, that you've been getting already a lot of requests. Does that start right away? Just like, okay, now that you're in charge or now you're MP of Guelph?
I would say Monday night I was getting emails.
Really?
Yeah, so we had quite a few emails to get through in the first few days, which a lot of them were congratulatory, but then there were other ones dealing with passport issues and other things that we really have to save up and get into the right hands as soon as we can. But right now we're in a bit of a state of limbo until I've been sworn in and until the office is up and running.
Because we're in a weird position here. We don't have a current MP, and if you go past Cork Street, nobody's there right now.
Right. And the next door neighbors to Frank's old office are getting a lot of people knocking on the doors, and city hall and Liz Sandel's office. So really, the city, I guess that one thing is the city does need to have a place to go for contact in the Government of Canada. And right now, we just don't have that for the next few weeks or so.
To what do you think? To look back at the campaign a little, what do you think? Goes the credit for your victory, and it wasn't just we talked on election night about 2008, and not you and me on our election show.
Sure.
And it was a pretty close race. It was 1,000 votes, give or take, between Frank Valera and Gloria Kovach, and it was kind of the same situation this one. But this was, you know, looking at the numbers, a really decisive victory. And again, you know, and having talked about this in open sources, you are the third Liberal MP in over 20 years, and so this is a really, first of all, it's a affirmative victory, or tremendously affirmative victory. But it shows us a tremendous faith, I guess, maybe people have in the Liberal Party locally too.
I wouldn't go quite so far as that. I would love to. We'd love to really try and simplify things to it was all about the Liberal Party, but I think that it was also about the Conservative Party that had been in power for a long time, and people wanted a change. We had about 12,000 more votes than we were expecting, and those were really, I think, new voters. Sometimes we were talking to people that were in their 70s voting for their first time, so it wasn't all just about getting the youth vote out, but certainly the University of Guelph had a very successful poll. So having the result of 72.9% voting was, I think, the best story of the night was we had more people voting. And the people that voted were choosing change. And we hope that we can keep people engaged through the next 4 years and build on that 72% to have a relevant government that is responsive to people and people see that their votes do matter.
So you credit the Red Wave as partially your victory, as the overwhelming appeal of Lloyd Longfield individually, which is tremendous.
Well, yeah, I think it's got to be a combination of a few things. I mean, I have served the community in various ways over the years, and so there'll be people that might recognize that, people that I've worked with, but also Justin Trudeau really added a lot to the campaign. And the campaign team I had were just solid people, and many solid people that worked hard for 11 weeks to get us to the finish line. And they were all local people, where other campaigns were bringing people in from out of town. We were working with the grassroots and really fundraising locally and having local volunteers serving, and that group then brings their friends, and that's how you build a result that, such as we had. So a combination of three things, I think, and I would say they're all fairly equal in measure, but I would put the campaign team and their efforts as the first, because we couldn't have got anywhere without those people.
You made it an election issue, at least locally, out of local money, local support. Why was that important to you?
Well, if you're representing your local constituency, the people that are supporting you are the people that you're going to be answerable to. And if you're taking support from outside the province, the people that are building your campaign are not people that you're answering to. So in terms of democracy, the more you're using local support, whether it's financial or volunteer or just communicating with local people, the better that you'll be in the next 4 years to represent people that are in your riding. And really, frankly, of all stripes, I'm first and foremost reporting to the House of Commons, and that means I'm not only responsible to the people that voted for me, I'm also responsible to the people that didn't vote for me.
Right. I was going to ask you about that. Maybe we can get that in a bit, because I was curious about the advertising. There was a full-page ad in the Tribune in terms of tying, first of all, Gloria Kovac to Harper, which is Stephen Harper, which is fairly easy. He was their party leader. But then there was also the ads of tying Gordon Miller back to Mike Harris, even though it's been 20-some-odd years since Gordon Miller ran for Mike Harris. Was there any concern about maybe that was too negative in the face of the overwhelmingly positive campaign Justin Trudeau was running?
A lot of people didn't know the background of all the candidates, so what we put out was factual. It was when we were going door-to-door and saying, you know, what do you know about the other candidates, a lot of people didn't know the history, and so we just chose to put out there that the Green Party actually has a very strong tie-in to the Conservative Party when you look at their policy and platform. And I think some people looked at the Green Party as more closely aligned with the Progressive Party, like the NDP or even the Progressive part of the Liberal Party. So when you're in a race, you try and distinguish yourself from your competitors. Mm-hmm. And when we were in debates, we were almost finishing each other's sentences, and quite often, you know, Gordon Miller, Andrew Seagram, and I were very similar in some of our answers, and so we thought we have to separate ourselves out from the other people so people do have a clearer choice, and so we just put that out as a way of separating ourselves from the Gordon Miller campaign.
I did ask Gord Miller about it on the open sources, and he said quite candidly he was wrong, and he was, you know, the Mike Harris philosophy was wrong.
Well, he was quite involved with the campaign at the time, and and his history of running for the Tories is what it is. So people can change their mind over time, and that's one thing. But there was a very strong and consistent tie-in in his past political. In fact, his appointment was through the Mike Harris, and was renewed through the Liberal Party as well. But his roots, as you will, would be more with the Tories in terms of what we saw in the history.
Well, this will be my last question about the campaign, but is there anything now that it's over, looking back, that you maybe could have, if you had the ability to warn yourself in advance, in terms of, not necessarily even tactics, but in terms of what to expect, even in terms of campaigning?
Well, I mean, I expected hard work, but my goodness, I mean, I've worked hard all my life, but I've never seen 7 days a week full on all the time. The work on policy, I think, was probably the most surprising, was the depth and breadth of policy that we had to learn and discuss in a very short period of time. And I think that's the challenge going forward as well, is to keep those conversations alive. I thought going in that it was more about name recognition, and really people didn't get into policy as much as what it turned out.
Right.
And people really do care about policy, and so my basement was full of flip charts. And it was, it was going to school, and going to school in a very public way with a public exam at the end of it. So, and lots of debates, and which I really, really enjoyed, and hope to continue those types of community discussions on policies relating to Guelph.
Well, let's talk about what's ahead. You talked about already getting emails from people, and it's about, you know, the little things, like I'm trying to get my passport and things like that. But in terms of what's the immediate priority in terms of you being representative of Guelph, what is the sort of the immediate big thing on your plate, you think?
since we're broadcasting, I can say that when you go for your passport, it's in Kitchener.
Right.
You know, there is an office to be served in Kitchener, and you can go online, Government of Canada websites, to find the other services which do continue even without having an office in Guelph. There are still services that continue through the bureaucracy of the Government of Canada.
Canada is open for business.
Canada is open, yeah, exactly. So your listeners can please check that out, and we'll serve as soon as we can. The first up for me is building on the collaborations that I've been involved with over the years between the university, college to a degree as well, the education, let's say, in general, business and government. And so how do we tie those three pillars together? I've met with the Chamber of Commerce in the last 2 days, and looking at working with the Chamber of Commerce in a different way, other than being president. Got a great president there that's doing a wonderful job and does tie us in. So he'll be tying us into the business community. I've got meetings later on today with the University of Guelph, and looking at their strategic plan and how that aligns with the overall strategic plan of the city. And then also meeting with the city tomorrow on their strategic plan. And so how do we tie business, education, and government together to continue to build the city?
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, tying into the details of social networks and things around poverty elimination and social support, and the platforms of the Liberal Party around infrastructure investment and that kind of thing.
I think the relevant theme coming out of the debates I saw anyway was intergovernmental cooperation across all levels.
Yes.
And we're talking about government, different governments, different
yep.
philosophies. How do you go about starting to reconcile not just that, your own priorities as an individual person,
yep.
priorities of the people, and then priorities coming from the federal government that you're now part of?
I think that's the most exciting opportunity we have going forward, is we have a a federal government that wants to work with the provinces, mm-hmm. and I'm part of that government. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be really exciting to see how do we deal with climate change, how do we deal with innovation, how do we deal with matters of infrastructure. And working with the partners between the municipality, which I'm very close with, and really enjoy working with the city of Guelph, and hope to come to city council meetings to see how those discussions go, and then tying that in with the provincial government, and then going up to Ottawa as the federal government to say, which committees am I on, and, mm-hmm. and hopefully the committees I'm on have something to do with what Guelph needs to be done, and line up with my background in working in the community.
How do they choose committees?
Don't know.
You don't know?
I'm going up for orientation this week.
I'm wondering if it's like a lottery system or what they
No, I'm sure it's more than a lottery system. They do have, there's a selection process for cabinet ministers. Right. It's ongoing right now. The cabinet will be sworn in next week on the 4th. Mm-hmm. We have caucus meetings on the 5th. And during the caucus meetings, I'm sure that things like committees will be discussed. And there is a process for everything. I've got an orientation person that's working with me right now, and she has 11 newly minted members of Parliament-elect that she's working with. And so some of this is just falling into the process, but then looking for the opportunities when you're there.
In terms of... I think a lot of people have noted this online and the media. There's been a lot of notes that there is a new tone in Ottawa in terms of, as you were mentioning, cooperation. Mm-hmm. Has that trickled down to you? Are you feeling that too? I mean, because you're not coming from the political side of it, but in terms of your past as a community collaborator, president of the Chamber of Commerce, mm-hmm. are you feeling that?
Yeah, people are really excited. It was last week after Monday, getting a little bit of sleep, but we were up pulling signs out of the ground at 7:30 Tuesday morning. And then as we were going through the city and answering emails and answering telephone calls, people are definitely excited about what's on the road ahead. And none of us know exactly what it is other than there's going to be a different style of communication, and I'm really glad to be a part of that.
One of the things, to talk specifically about a particular issue, the Canada Post is stopping the conversion to the community mailboxes. Mm-hmm. Is that a reaction on the part of the Crown Corporation to that there's a new boss in town, or is there something behind the scenes that you maybe can share that...
No, I don't have any behind the scenes. I'm reading the newspaper the same as you are, and listening to the radio. I think that... it seems to me there's a test going on. Mm-hmm. There was a commitment to review the business plan of Canada Post and to restore the door-to-door delivery. And a great way of doing that is by stopping the installation of these super boxes. And that kind of puts feet to the fire. We don't have a minister involved yet. We don't have a government sitting yet. We don't have conversations for Parliament because we don't have Parliament convened yet. So this will be that's one way of getting the conversation started, I'm sure.
And there's, that's sort of one problem, but there's a lot of things in progress from the government of Canada point of view that the new government probably isn't going to want to move forward on. That was very much part of the set list of tasks of the old government, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's got to be priorities set, and there's going to be some immediate issues to deal with, such as climate change, because there is a conference coming up. There's the G20 coming up, so and there's a budget that needs to be set for next year. So there's a list of priorities, and not everything's going to get done on the first day. So
I was going to ask about that too, because just it seems like every other post on Reddit is like, well, and Justin Trudeau has to do this, Justin Trudeau has to do that, and there's actually somebody set up a Trudeau meter.
Oh yeah,
somewhere it's like the list of the election promises, and there's a little thermometer picture, like they're raising money for the United Way. Is that add any pressure, do you think?
I don't think it's pressure. I think it's good for the public to hold government accountable, and I think in the past we've seen governments make promises that come and go. I think it's good to have a public reminder of what's being expected, but I think from the government side, there also has to be setting expectations of when those things are going to happen. And some things have to happen before other things, and the first thing you need is sitting parliament with cabinet ministers. So that would be the first priority. And from there, the committees will be formed and priorities will come out of those whole discussions. And it's all new for me, so I'm really looking forward to being part of the whole process.
You mentioned after a victory, on the front page of the Tribune, one of your goals is going to be making sure electoral reform happens, keeping that a priority.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are concerned about that because of how decisive the Liberal victory was.
Sure.
It's like, well, now that we have a majority and we can do it.
Yeah, no, I think there's some cynicism that probably is attached to that, but the commitment is to have a better parliament, or better electoral system, mm-hmm. and a better parliament. And those are commitments that Justin Trudeau made very early in the game and remains committed to. So we've got an 18-month stopwatch on that, and we're on week one of 18 months. So we know that that's going to be something we have to be dealing with early.
Mm-hmm.
We were on an 18-month because there could have been a minority government and an election within 2 years. But I haven't heard of any changes to the 18-month agenda. I think Canadians are expecting those conversations to go forward, and I hope to be part of that.
And actually, somebody sent me a Facebook event for April the 19th, 2017. Which
there you
is
go.
Exactly 18 months. So there is a running clock. At least on Facebook.
Well, and I think that a majority government does have the opportunity to stand on the commitments without being pulled in other directions by other partners, but to work with those partners going forward. And that was the commitment going forward, that this is an all-party discussion and a discussion with communities across Canada. And there will be a vote in Parliament, and it might not be April the whichever, 2017, but it will be within that range for sure.
Mm-hmm. Just maybe the last question on it. A lot of people have brought up the 2007 provincially here, the mixed member proportional referendum.
Oh, yeah.
And I think looking back on that, one of the problems was outreach and explaining it to people. That was sort of like a dead zone in terms of the campaign. It was just another question on the ballot.
Right.
Is there going to be a lot of... Is the emphasis going to be also on this time public education as well? Because I find that a lot of people hear the term proportional mixed member proportional and it doesn't click.
And to try and get that message broadly out, is I remember in 2007 myself, I was not as closely tied to politics as I was when I was even at the Chamber of Commerce in 2007. Mm-hmm. I was managing director of a business and doing a lot of traveling. And came to budget or ballot time, and I looked at that on the ballot wondering what that was all about. So the easiest thing is to say, no, what we have is working.
Right.
And I think a lot of people were in that position. So there has to be public consultation for sure, and public awareness, and a vote in Parliament is the way we're going.
I remember when you were on Open Sources, I asked you about in terms of how you will carry on in sort of Frank Valerian's example. Now I'm wondering how you intend to distinguish yourself from Frank going forward.
Well, I think there's new technologies available for consultation with the public. And one thing that we tried in the last couple of weeks of our campaign was an online forum. We had a telephone town hall. We had 6,000 people on the line, and I've been getting good feedback on that. So how we reach out to the public using different technologies is something that will naturally occur because every year there's new technologies available. So I do intend to use various means to reach out. I want to look at how do we implement open data as a government, mm-hmm. and how do we make that accessible to everybody. My outreach is going to be using different technologies, let's say, than Frank was using.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to maintain the face-to-face work that Frank did with the different cultural communities, church basements, halls. I mean, he was always on. I'd have lunch with him, and he'd be talking to everybody in the restaurant. And I intend to keep doing that. I think there's always lessons learned, and there's also always new ways of serving. So the University of Guelph is going to be one of my very key interest areas, and it has been for the last 8 years. Mm-hmm. And I've traded several emails with the University of Guelph even this morning, and we'll be having lunch with the University of Guelph and going forward with the University of Guelph to look at how do we tie into the research at the university, how do we tie these students into opportunities in Guelph for employment, and so that might be slightly different than Frank as well, that I have spent a lot of time at the University of Guelph. I know he did as well, but for sure I'm going to be keeping that as a key platform that I'll be working on.
And what's, in terms of going forward, what is your message, first of all, to the Guelph voters that supported you by voting for you last week, and then secondly, to the people who didn't vote for you, what's your message to them?
Well, it's... A good question, and there's a third one, is people that voted for me but really were only voting for me because they were wanting a change.
Right.
And so regardless of why people voted for me, I certainly appreciate the support. I mean, 34,000 people that are asking you to work on their behalf is very, very humbling. It's and walking down the street and having people high-five me and honk horns, and it's I'm in the center of a party. It's not the Liberal Party, it's a party in Guelph. And I hope I can deliver on their expectations. And the other is, I mentioned earlier, that tying in with the people that didn't vote for me and making sure that their conversation is also heard. And I have had a very good conversation with Andrew Seagram, and I want to continue those conversations going forward. I hope to have similar conversations with the other parties and people that have worked with the other parties. I've talked to some volunteers from the Conservative Party at an event on Saturday and said that I really look forward to working with them as well, because good ideas come from anywhere, and definitely we want to make sure that we're not isolating ourselves in any way, that we're here to serve Guelph, and I'm here to serve Guelph, regardless of who you voted for.
And perhaps to wrap up, if people are needing to get in touch with you for any reason, if they have any of those good ideas, how can they reach out to you?
Well, the very best for now is my email address, until I get my parliamentary email address. It's lloyd@lloydlongfield.ca. Mm-hmm. It's lloyd@lloydlongfield.ca. And I could give my cell phone out, but that's very overloaded right now, so let's stick with the email until I can get an office opened, and I hope to have some staff in place within the next couple of weeks to continue to serve Guelph.
Well, we look forward to what the next 4 years hold and your representation. So, Lloyd Longfield, thank you for talking to me today.
That's great. Thanks, Adam.
Once again, that was Lloyd Longfield, the Member of Parliament-elect for Guelph, soon to be just Member of Parliament. Reminder, of course, Justin Trudeau is sworn in as Prime Minister along with his cabinet officially on November the 4th, this coming Wednesday. As for the Guelph Politicast, that's all for this week. The theme music for Guelph Politicast is provided by the Crazy Pills with their song Break It Down, which is courtesy of the Free Music Archive. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes, and while you're there, you can also listen to Open Sources Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me at my email address, adamadonaldson@gmail.com, or reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. And for all the latest political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.com, where we will also have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, we will see you next time.